Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Today on Happy Sad Confused, Jodie Comer on landing a career-making role, killing it on Killing Eve, and yet still living at home? Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Welcome to a lovely, delightful conversation with an up-and-comer by the name of Jodie Comer, a.k.a. Villanelle on Killing Eve. If you've seen Killing Eve, you understand why, when given the opportunity, I jumped at the chance of talking to Jodie. This is, as I said, truly a career-making role. She is unbelievable on this show, opposite Sandra Oh. It is in its second season. It has already been renewed for a third season, and Jodie just pops off the screen as this enigmatic, bizarre assassin. And it's the start, I think, of a very interesting, cool career. And it was a lovely opportunity to get to know Jodie at this very interesting juncture for her. And as I said, as I ribbed her in the intro and as I rib her in the conversation, Jodie is still living at home. I think she's about 26, so that's fine. She's still figuring it out. She's got time. She's making it work. She's happy. If she's happy, I'm happy. I really felt like I clicked with Jodie immediately. I think you guys will get why. She has a great sense of humor and a good head on her shoulders and is so super talented to boot. So I think you guys will enjoy this conversation very, very much. Elsewhere in the Josh Horowitz pop culture universe, well, we are on the eve of, I guess it has to be the movie event of the year. I mean, we do have The Rise of Skywalker in December. But until then, it's got to be all about Avengers Endgame. Avengers Endgame, of course, is the 22nd Marvel Cinematic Universe film. It is the culmination of Phase 3 and the first three phases of the Marvel films. Don't worry, no spoilers here. But guys, I just saw it. I just saw the movie. I really can't say anything. I don't want to say anything except to say this will live up to your expectations. I mean, I avoided spoilers. They are out there. Be wary out there. I would just recommend avoiding as much information at all costs. You've waited this long. Why ruin it now? It's an emotional film. It's an epic film. And that's kind of all I want to say. I want to talk to you guys after we all see it. So there'll be weeks and weeks of conversation about this movie because there are major events in this film. But just know that I think it's going to live up to the hype for a lot of people. You know, I have quibbles like I did with Infinity War, but for the most part, I'm happy. And I think a lot of people will be. So look forward to that. We'll talk about that on this podcast in the weeks to come. But also, I did get a chance to talk to the Avengers Endgame cast, or at least most of them, recently, and we've posted a couple fun pieces of video from that a lot of you have probably seen by now, some of you haven't seen. If you haven't checked them out, I highly recommend it because it really shows off their wit and charm and camaraderie. I've socialized them on my Twitter feed and my Instagram feed, but if you want, just go to MTV News' YouTube page. That's the best place to check them out. I played a fun game of Most Likely 2 with the cast, and then a game we called Name That Avenger, in which I had the cast look at extremely close-up images of their fellow Avengers body parts and guess. And hilarity ensued, my friends. It's very, very funny. They were... Yeah, they had a ball with it. So I highly recommend those. We're also rolling out some flashback clips. I've been talking to these guys literally from the beginning of these films. I was I was at the Iron Man 1 junket. I interviewed Downey and Favreau and Gwyneth. I remember, and yes, and Terrence Howard back then. So I go all the way back to the beginning of this crazy saga of Marvel films. So we're going to roll out some early interviews I did with the main players on, again, MTV News' social channels. So look out for those. And I guess that's all there is to say right now. I guess I want to say I hope you enjoy this conversation with Jodie Comer. There are no spoilers in it. We taped this a couple weeks back when she was in town. For context, I will say the third season of Killing Eve had just been announced when she walked into my office, like literally that morning, like an hour or two before. So I congratulate her on that. There are no spoilers for the season, really. I think we allude to some events in the first two episodes, but nothing very specific. And by now, I think we're onto the third episode in real time anyway. So no spoilers here. If you've seen the show, I think you're going to enjoy this. If you haven't seen the show, you're probably going to be delighted by Jodie and want to check it out. It's on BBC America. Go seek it out if you haven't yet. I binged the first season like in no time. And I guess enjoy this conversation with Jodie. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to Happy, Sad, Confused. Spread the good word. And here is Jodie Comer. Here we go. Can you feel the magic in the air, Jodie? The tingles are there.
On the fingertips. I can feel it.
I think the tingles are there because as we tape this, breaking news.
We actually just seen it in the lift on the way up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was like a little television screen and it was like, breaking news.
They broke into CNN in the middle to say, forget the world falling apart. The good news is Killing Eve is coming back for season 3.
Guys, everyone. Hold on to your hats. Yeah.
Were you given the tip off before this announcement? You must
Yeah.
You're a good actor. You can keep these secrets.
Yeah, I was sworn to secrecy only like a couple of days ago, though. I think it was amazing. Sunday. Yeah, lovely.
That makes this press go around all the smoother, knowing that there's an appetite and interest in more.
Well, it answers the very popular question of, are we getting a series 3?
There you go.
Now we don't have to answer that anymore.
That one off my list. Yeah. I have nothing left. What do you want to talk about, Jodie? Are you sick of yourself yet? You're everywhere. You are dominating the pop culture landscape at the moment. I feel like everywhere I look, there's Jodie.
Yeah. Are you sick of me yet?
No. That's not what I was trying to get at.
No,
insecure actors. Jesus.
No, I know what you mean. It's been a crazy year.
Yeah.
But lovely, celebratory, you know. I feel like it's important to embrace it and be grateful for it. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Is this what you imagined success would feel like? I mean, you were successful already before Killing Eve.
Yeah.
You were a working actor. Mm-hmm. You were doing fine, well, happy, I assume.
Yeah.
But this is another level of success. This doesn't happen very often, as you well know. What's been surprising in the last year? What's kind of like, oh, I didn't anticipate that goes along with?
Oh, I think I've never been a part of a show before that has had as huge a response as this has.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, does it affect day-to-day life right now? I mean,
it doesn't.
When you're back into your real life, is it really...
Yeah, it's okay. Like, if there's anything that's changed remotely, it's like a handful more people may approach me in the street or just pull a curious, confused face at me as if to say, is it her?
Right.
You know, but other than that, life is normal and as it was, which is, you know, how you want it to be.
I mean, you came in here with 30 people, which I found a little bit odd.
I know, and they're all literally sat in the room listening.
Yeah, she didn't. She travels light. She's basically a one-woman band. But I mean, what do you remember about, I guess, so about a year, when did the first series debut? Was it about a year ago?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it must have been this time last year. So, exactly, yeah.
So what was that first press tour like? I mean, did you have
a lot quieter than this one.
Yeah. Because this was a word of mouth show.
Yeah, of course. And you know, Fleabag, I think, had recently come out in the States. So there was a buzz around Phoebe and Sandra, you know, who's incredibly respected and well-known. And other than that, you know, there wasn't really a telltale sign of what you know, what was extra special or unique about the show. So we had a little bit of press, but it wasn't, you know, a tremendous amount. Whereas this year, because there is so much expectation now and people are, you know, huge fans of the show, there's been a little bit more of that, which is fun.
So setting a foot on the set for season two, you have comfort in that you know that people are going to be there waiting to watch it. And maybe there's also some quote-unquote pressure, expectations.
Yeah, nervousness, absolutely.
Was there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think when we started filming series two, series, I always get told off for saying series.
I think it's classier to say, yeah. No, but I like series. Let's do it your way.
Okay, thank you. That's usually what I do.
Yeah, okay.
Forget
it's
everyone
not
else
aluminum in this
it's only
room.
Us in the room.
It's aluminium and series and schedule.
Yes, schedule. So when series one was going out in the UK, we were filming series two, and you know, we'd be filming on the street and there would just be crowds of people kind of watching, and that's when we realized the size that the show had gotten to. And well, I think as well because it was fresh in everyone's minds in the UK.
Yeah.
But you've just got to really try, and which is easy when you've got, you know, like 8 scripts to learn and you've got a full film schedule. It's a lot easier to forget about the future and the expectation and what are people going
to
think.
By necessity,
I have to. Yeah, I have no other choice, which is nice. And then obviously when it's time for the air date, that's when those feelings kind of start to creep in. But I guess it's like that double-edged sword, you know, of it's fantastic to be a part of a show that is that successful, but then there is so much expectation and there you feel like there is a bar that needs to be met.
Right. Do you remember, like, can you pinpoint when the shift happened in terms of like there are eyeballs on this to, oh wait, this is kind of becoming a major obsession in pop culture right now? Like, was there a discernible moment where you realized that?
I mean, I think for me it was Halloween.
The costumes came out?
When all the Villanelle costumes came out, and I was like, what is going on? I mean, I loved it. I was like so kind of taken aback. But I think that was a huge moment because I was like, whoa, this has kind of turned into an iconic little piece. And it, you know, and also like the fan art.
Yeah. Because that struck me too, because like, you know, I spoke to Jordan Peele recently, and that's sort of how you realize, like, Get Out was like, okay, it's a hit, sure, but it's like in the consciousness when the people take it in and
to
then
their
like
own lives?
And then put something out.
Yeah,
into the universe.
And what I loved as well, there were so many people who, like, there was one girl in particular who said like she'd given up drawing, and like she was, you know, it's like that moment in your life where, you know, if a teacher might be like, if you're not, they think you're not as good as it to succeed, then you may be told to think of something else. And she said she'd kind of like stopped drawing, and then she watched the show and was inspired, and then went and drew, and it was just like, it's just so nice to know that you've connected with an audience in that way, and they feel compelled to like give you something back.
Amazing. That
it's so special.
Very often.
Yeah, and they're incredible.
I saw you posted a bunch of it on your Instagram, right?
I went a bit crazy.
Well, you got excited. It's exciting.
I know. I was like, ah.
If you get blasé about it, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Ugh, another 300 paintings of me.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Another portrait. Yawn. No, never. This is so brilliant.
Is there a typical reaction when people, when it clicks in their brain, like, oh, I clocked her. I know who she is. Wary or are they excited?
No, usually I think just the thing to do now, isn't it, in this day and age, is like some people don't even say hello. They just say, cool. Can I have a picture?
Oh, I see. You got it. Yeah.
And you're like, hello, my name is Jodie.
It's good if they even say, can I have a picture?
Yeah.
Let's be frank.
Yeah, no, that's actually very, very
they
true.
They just move in right
sometimes
for the
move. That just happens, yeah. I love it when people forget to turn their flash off.
That's sweet.
Like, not so subtle.
And you're blinded.
Yeah. But no, people are usually just, you know, want to speak about the show. And but yeah, there are a few people that are maybe a little bit cautious at first. But I like to believe that the majority of people can make the separation of real life and
The ones that can.
Yeah.
That's the worrisome
Although,
part.
Although, recently I did ask, someone did ask me to strangle them.
Oh. Sweet.
Yeah.
What was your response?
No.
Are you wanted for murder?
No, sorry. Thank you, though.
Look, in 30 years, if the career hasn't turned out well, you show up at conventions to murder people for a price. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Have you seen any tattoos? Have people tattooed Villanelle?
I have, actually.
Yeah.
Not a Villanelle.
Okay.
No one has done that yet, to my disappointment.
I'm sure people have done that. You just haven't seen it yet.
I'm waiting.
This is where I take off my shirt and show you the full tattoo.
Surprise.
is this weird for you? I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. No, but someone got Sorry Baby tattooed onto them.
That's pretty cool.
It was so cool. But I was just like, you're crazy, but in the best possible way. Like, you know, that's... I mean, I don't know if I love anything enough to get it tattooed on my body.
I was just going
to
ask, like, growing up, was there something you were so obsessed with that, like, on one drunken night, you might have ended up with a Harry Potter tattoo or something?
I mean, Spice Girls, maybe. I would have really regretted that. Right. I actually, through my teens, I was a huge fan of the band The Kooks.
Oh, okay.
And my favourite song was Naive. And I had this really bad idea. Like, through my teens, I was like, I really want the word just naive just on the back of my neck.
You have to say it like that, too. Yeah. Was that a peek at Jodie at 16?
That was, like, how serious I was. Yeah, I was like, that would be, like, so cool.
Thankfully, someone smarter in your life said, Jodie, that wouldn't be so
cool. It's not happening.
Speaking of playing it cool,
I can't.
No, I was going to say that. I was doing the Golden Globes thing, and I went to a couple parties, and I saw you at a couple parties from a distance. I didn't approach. I didn't want to show you my full body tattoo yet. But my question is, were you playing? Because now you're getting to go to these cool things, and you're, like, not just invited to the party. You deserve to be at the party.
Yeah.
So, like, have you been able to kind of enjoy being welcomed into this kind of rarefied air, these kind of crazy, like, cool parties and stuff? Like, has that been surreal for you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Totally surreal.
Yeah.
It's because you always feel out of place. So you're like, why am I here again? Like, you know, it's just because it's a new thing. What I loved about that was that, you know, we were there for a reason. I don't really go to parties for the sake of, like, showing face or, like, I will go to something if there is a reason for me to be there.
Right.
And the Golden Globes was amazing, you know, especially to have Phoebe and Sandra there, who was hosting, and a lot of the producers and the cast and stuff. So it's always nice to be in those moments, because they're the moments where you can kind of relax and celebrate it.
Yeah. Are you the type of person that go up to people that you're an admirer of, or no?
No. I can't, just because I honestly, like, not that there's anything wrong with approaching people, but I know sometimes how it is nice that people do, but I know sometimes how it makes me feel if I'm, like, in the middle, I don't know, if I'm having a bad day or, you know, something, and sometimes it can kind of throw me off kilter. So I don't usually like to, just to interrupt.
I understand.
I don't know, maybe it comes from a place of understanding in a way.
Who would it be tough to restrain yourself from approaching? Who's on the Mount Rushmore for Jodie? Whether it's in acting, is it like if it is like Kate Blanchett's across the room? I'm like, I'm not going to be able to restrain myself.
Well, it's... Dick Van Dyke, I think, was at the
no, you don't expect that.
He was at the I think it was the Golden Globes, and that was a real moment of kind of gasp, like, oh, I wish I could.
Right.
I used to be, I like musicals were like my life growing up.
What kind of, so
like everyone, like, and I actually went to see Chicago last night as well. So I'm like reliving this kind of moment right now. So who else would I really love to meet?
Would you be more excited to meet Gary Oldman or Lisa Vanderpump?
Gary Oldman.
Okay, good. Because I was bringing you into reality shows. I was just making sure.
I'm all for a Real Housewife, don't get me wrong. But no. I liked... No.
Good. Okay, Gary Oldman. That was your test, because you were about to be ejected from my office.
No, like, I like watching those shows to, like, kill my brain cells.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like you just have to do that. But yes.
Okay, so you mentioned, this is a good segue into Little Jodie. You mentioned musical theater.
Yes.
So you were into...
Yeah.
Into everything and anything music?
I used to do singing, dance, and drama.
Were you were performing? You were watching?
Yeah,
you were,
performing. I was. I went to like a local drama school where I did like an hour of dance, singing and drama. I used to be a good dancer actually, but I was always quite small and in proportion. And then I went through a growth spurt, and now I'm just a bit like all limb.
Right.
I'm a bit lanky.
She's still filling out her body. She's still figuring out what
like
goes where.
Yeah, like she just can't quite, like,
her arms
know where
are
to put
flailing
her.
About right now. It's really actually worrisome.
Yeah, so that's...
Watch it. Jesus.
So then as I was getting older, I just was more drawn to drama because I enjoyed it a little bit. A bit more, but when I was younger, I was like, you know, when I'm 18, I'm moving to London and I'm going to be on the West End. And my mum was like, okay. And then as I got older, I just kind of gravitated more to drama. Mm-hmm. And sadly, my love for musical theatre kind of subsided. It never went.
Right.
It just...
You reprioritized. You decided...
Yeah.
But now that you've seen Chicago again,
yeah,
you've got your dancing shoes back on and you're ready to...
They're on right now. I'm ready.
Conquer the world. That's you. So do you sing?
Yeah, I'm not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
The inevitable musical episode of Killing Eve is now...
It's on its way.
It's on its way.
Spoiler. No,
I wish. That's season 8. That's when you jump the shark.
We always said, actually, God, if it'd be kind of cool to do a musical. Kind of feels like that's the only thing we're missing is a song and dance.
In a weird way, a show like yours could kind of do
probably
something
do that.
Bizarre like that,
yeah,
and get
yeah.
away with it somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, so when do you get really serious about acting? Like, when are you like, Mom, Dad, no, this is for real. This is not a joke.
I think it was when I did a radio drama at mm-hmm. home. I got sent for that audition by my drama teacher through my secondary school. I was only like 12, 13 at the time, though. And I was like 4 days recording in Manchester for this radio play. And I just loved it so much. And my mum chaperoned me and there were other actors of like local soap dramas at home. And they were like, you know, if you've enjoyed this so much, you can do this. Like, if you're lucky enough.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, wow, that just blew my mind. And an actress kindly introduced me to her agent and put me in touch with a photographer to get some headshots taken. And then it all kind of snowballed from there, really. And my parents have always just been so encouraging. They've always took a back seat, but I've always...
Was there a plan B? Was like, when's the last time you never had to work other jobs? You kind of, since you were...
Well, I worked at a supermarket, like, through my teens. Mm. I also worked at a bar. The supermarket was kind of excruciating because I had been doing odd acting jobs in between that. And I just had this drive and this knowledge of like, I can do this.
Yeah,
if
you could taste it. You were almost there.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, yeah. It still felt so far out of reach. But
did you bring your characters to work? Did you ever decide to bring one of your...
Your
gigs, one of your acting... one of your performances into the supermarket for practice?
I didn't. I wish I did now. I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
Wow.
Could have showed them all what I was made of.
Right.
No, I mean, the supermarket's a tough place.
I can imagine.
There's have you heard of secret shoppers?
I know the word secret and shoppers, but not together. What
so they
mean?
Used to send secret shoppers in mm-hmm. to, like, analyze you without you knowing.
Wow.
And then if you did a bad job, they would close off your till and they would have a little word with you about it.
Did that ever happen to you?
Yes, it did, because the majority of the time, I did a Saturday and Sunday shift, like 10 till 4. This was when I was like probably around 16. Mm-hmm. I was out probably both days of that weekend. So 9 times out of 10, I was probably hungover.
Right.
So yeah, it's a tough old world, the supermarket business.
It built character.
Yes, absolutely. It's...
So what's the job that kind of is there a quote unquote big break? Is there a role that felt like was a major shift for you?
Do you know what? I feel like every job has contributed in some way. I did a drama in the UK called 13, which was for the BBC, and that was like my first lead role.
Right.
And it was on that I learned about not just the importance of like doing your work, your acting, but also the responsibility that you have leading a cast, and you know, the importance of the way you treat the crew, your morale, because I feel like whoever is leading the show, their energy is just ripples right through. So I think I learned that from that job. And then I feel like Killing Eve has been a breakout in its own way, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like now people are like, I always say taking me seriously, but I feel like people are kind of paying attention.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I think they weren't really sure what I was about, or which is like fine, because I you know, I'd been like predominantly in the UK, and you know, all of my work has been television. So,
right.
But I guess now I feel that people have enjoyed and seen something that I've done, and I know, yeah.
Well, not only is it just like the larger platform that more people are seeing it, mm-hmm. but it's like beyond it being a great show, it's, you know, selfishly for you, it's like an amazing audition tape. Like, it shows how many different things you can do.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's that, I remember when I first read the script and just thinking, oh God, whatever actress gets this is just going to have the most fun. You know, to be able to play kind of however many different characters within a six-month period is such a luxury, and
sure.
keeps it fresh for me and challenges me in ways in which I haven't been challenged before. I think you're right. That's what's so unique about this character, is it feels like many all tied into one.
Did you have a read on her from day one? Did you, even from the audition or from the first day on set, did it feel like there was anything that was like reverberating in your brain, like a secret way into this character, that
no.
like a guiding principle? No.
Honestly, I felt like I was like fumbling my way through till like midway. I'm very lucky and grateful that Phoebe was on set for a lot of the start of the show, and she really encouraged me to take risks and also challenged me in a way of, I may have been playing a certain emotion, and she would tell me to flip it completely on its head,
right.
which would sometimes throw my instinct out the window and I'd have to kind of find my way. But when I did, I and it all started to click. Everything made sense a little bit more. And then I felt like I started to find her. And then Phoebe said, she could see me becoming more comfortable, and she would watch the rushes back and see takes and see things that I was doing, choices I was making, and then she would then incorporate them into the later episodes. So honestly, like, until midway through, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Which sounds crazy, because you're like, that's halfway through a project and you're on television saying that you don't...
Well, it means your instincts were right, clearly, even if you didn't maybe intellectualize what you were doing.
Yeah, I think as well, just the tone of the show was very new to me. I'd only ever done...
Well, it's new to everybody.
Yeah.
It's not... And yeah, that's what makes it so special.
It's kind of like having trust in it and just daring to push moments and take risks, I think, is ultimately what I learned on this job in particular.
I know, like, the stock question for you is kind of like, why... do we love this character? Like, why are people connecting with her?
Yeah.
I don't really have an answer. I don't know if you have a stock answer at this point or something you actually believe, because it does feel like there's some weird wish fulfillment that, like, we obviously don't want to kill people, but we do, like, want to live life without consequence.
That's exactly what it is. There is a fearlessness within her, and that lack of consequence, she is so free.
Yeah.
You know, if you just... don't think about the awful, horrific things that she does for one second.
Right.
I think there's something really admirable about that, and also something that is extremely attractive. I feel like when I meet people within my own life who are so comfortable within their own skin,
right.
You cannot help but be drawn to them.
Yes.
I also feel as though she is relatable sometimes. She makes decisions, and sometimes they are awful, but you see why she did it.
Yeah.
And I just love her.
I know you do, and I love that, because I've heard you talk about this, and I appreciate any actor that's like openly like as much of a fan of their own show as like other people. It's like, it reminds me, like, to name drop, like I've done a bunch of like Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson, like, is the biggest fan of Sam Jackson movies.
Yeah, like, good for him.
You know, just like, it's cool. It's okay to be a fan of the work.
Well,
you're
not being egotistical.
You're still a fan of fun stuff. Cool stuff.
And I think I have so much fun playing it.
Yeah.
You know, there was moments of like, you know, like the silly things of like where she shouts, take me to the hall. I remember before I was doing it. By this point, I got to a point where I just didn't care. Right. You know, I was like, and I remember when the crew came in for a rehearsal and I just belted it out and screamed it. And like, all, you know, it was just like Jodie at the start of the show would have really held back and not and been worrying about this moment that is really out there and crazy and how far do I push it and how you know, where do I need to rein it in? And Jodie at the end of the series was, you know, kind of out there blazing glory, ready to take it all on.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that shift within myself. But I think that also comes from a trust within a director. Like, I've spoke a lot about this lately because everyone's like, how do you find the balance?
Yeah.
And it's something that within the moment you can't really judge or think about, I don't think. And I think Damon Thomas in particular is incredible about, like, he's just so brilliant at creating a safe space and in, you know, making you feel okay to make silly, bold choices. And if you fall flat on your face, it's fine. We just won't speak about it.
Exactly. We'll you trust about, that will, that won't end up in the final
cut. Yeah, exactly. No, that well, that's the other thing. Editing is another huge part of performance, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, do you, I mean, how do you kind of rationalize what's been like this crazy year? Like in that, like 2 years ago, if I was speaking to you, again, you're working, you're in a bunch of different series, but like now you're like hailed as like the next whatever. Mm. And like, are you a better actor than you were 2 years ago? Or is it simply the opportunity is now there? Did you get the right opportunity?
It's hard to judge because I think you're always growing and learning. But I just feel like I've always known I've had it in me. There's been so many roles that I've gone for and for right reasons I've not got them, but I've always believed that I could, you know, because some people see Villanelle, me play Villanelle, and they're like, I just would never have thought it. And I'm like, but that you're right in saying that's because the opportunity hasn't came across for me to show
the nature
it.
Of so your business is someone needs to take a chance.
Exactly. Or people need to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very rare that people will see someone do something and then, because they've seen you do that, they will then offer you another role, which is kind of the exact same thing.
Well, that's the good news about this role, is it's going to be very hard for you to be typecast because there aren't many people like this. I feel like I've seen it on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like because a lot of people would say, oh, you know, did you watch any other Assassin movies or base her on anyone? And I was like, no, I couldn't. I didn't feel like I could because I felt like she was in her own kind of league, like there was, she wasn't like anyone I'd read before.
When it's a day on set, and you look at the sides. Are you more excited about a day where there's a kill involved or a bunch of eating involved?
The kills. The eating.
Less
love
nausea.
I love eating.
This is what
like,
I've heard.
Don't get me wrong. Like, well, I can vouch for that. I love eating. But
are we talking just generally eating and life?
Yeah, just life.
Yeah, well, like, who makes does? Me who so would say like I'm not a big fan of eating?
No, but what I also enjoy about doing that on screen is my biggest pet peeve is like, you know, when you're watching a show or a film and there's like an actress flicking a pea around the plate or an actor, like, and then I get so drawn into the fact that they're avoiding eating the food that I can't concentrate on the scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, food is something we enjoy in life, and I feel that when Killing Eve come out, everyone was like, she's eaten so much. And it's like, well, no, she's probably
eating.
She's just eating like a normal person would, but we don't really enjoy it or see it on camera.
Yeah. You're the Brad Pitt school of eating. Have you seen how Brad Pitt loves to eat on camera?
Yeah. Well, there's something also very kind of just natural about, I mean, it's hard because like we had a scene in series two with pasta and I was eating pasta from like 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 p.m.
Yeah, that can take a toll.
Yeah, it was grim. It was really, really grim.
Yeah, get the stretcher out for Jodie. She needs a few.
Yeah, it was It was so bad. But the kills, on the other hand...
There's no consequence, except for your psychiatrist years down the road.
They're so exciting also because we have this luxury now where we have these incredible actors who want to come in to the series just for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And they want to die. And, you know, I get to...
Do your thing.
I have that honour.
Yeah.
So I always find that I'm in, you know, I meet these people for like such brief amounts of time, but we get to do this kind of crazy, you know, whatever the storyline may be. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And I think as well, what we've tried to continue within the second series is that the kills aren't predictable. You know, there's always something surprising. And I think that's why they're enjoyable.
Are you still living at home, Jody?
Yes. Yes.
No, I didn't mean to sound judgy.
You did.
Yeah.
I felt judged.
Well, no. Look, if you're happy.
I'm so happy. Then look good. At me.
She's
I'm
happy, so guys. Happy. I'm just saying.
No, listen. I'm at this point now in my life where there's just not enough room for me in the house. Mainly because I spend so much time away that I'm like a hoarder and I like to collect things and then... And then I bring all my stuff back to my room and then I pack a bag and then I leave again.
Right.
So I'm just at a part of my life where I'm like, I wouldn't want to buy a house in Liverpool because I live with my parents in Liverpool. And if I was in Liverpool, that's the only place I would want to be.
Sure, that makes sense.
I like London. I don't love it.
Okay.
But that makes... Sorry. It's like a therapy session.
Continue, please. <yeah. laughs>
I like London. I don't love it, but that makes the most sense. Right. So at the minute, I'm just kind of floating around. I'm just going to wait and see what the world, what the universe offers up.
LA, New York?
No, not LA. No.
Good answer.
No. I like New York.
Come here. You can do song and dance.
I know, but that's a long way from home.
It's not that far. You'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I would be fine, but I'm going to say, I've said I'm going to see like the next couple of years where I'm kind of drawn to and then I'll make a decision.
So you're, needless to say, at a very exciting time where not only is there also attention on Killing Eve, but you're starting to reap the rewards and getting to do other exciting things.
Yes.
You're going to be working with Sean Levy, mm-hmm. very sweet guy.
He's like the nicest human being on the planet.
He kind of is.
Isn't
kind
he though? Really? Like no, when you meet him, you're like, oh, this is, he's great.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. And Ryan Reynolds is all right too, I guess.
Yeah. No, he's lovely.
Is this going to be like your first film?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
It is. It's mad because it's, again, like something you're saying, like I've wanted to do it for so long and believe that I could, but it's never happened. And I always felt that like when I had the opportunity to, I'd probably like, you know, be coming into a scene and asking for a coffee and then making a swift exit. And so to have this opportunity and to work with Sean and Ryan and have a character that is, again, so colourful and dynamic and has such a huge part of this story is it's going to be a whole new experience for me, you know, which I'm super excited, anxious, nervous.
And sounds like a high concept kind of crazy thing. Yeah. The video game world, real world.
Yeah, so there's like two versions of her. There's Millie in the real world and Molotov, the avatar in the game, is a total contrast to who she is, which I think is a big reflection of the way we are now as a society, you know, with social media and you know, who we kind of portray ourselves as. And
sure.
Yeah. Getting deep now.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Super deep.
Who is the Jody on Twitter?
Oh, I'm not very good on Twitter. I do a lot of retweeting and shameless self-promotion, actually. It's such a hard balance because I always get really annoyed when like people are like posting what they had for breakfast and you know, it's the balance of what are people actually interested in listening to or, you know, hearing and what is too much.
Never
and also
enough.
Just not
we need to know every little nitty gritty each bowl of pasta you consume in the next season. As you're going, maybe that'll keep you alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey guys, I'm suffering for you.
Yes. But Twitter's there's so much opinion on Twitter, I've learned the hard way. I really have.
Are you thin-skinned or does it
bother? No, but I will go out of my way to find something negative about myself. Like, that's the type of person I am. You know, I'm like, why am I doing this? Oh no, I'm already here. And look at this awful tweet. Right. Like that's what I have been known to do. So I try and, you know, I took a step back.
Everything
from
in moderation.
Yeah.
What accent do you get to adopt for the new role? Do you get to do an American? How's your
American? Yeah.
What version of American? What?
Just a general American.
Just flat Kardashian American, basically.
Basically, yeah. I've modelled it on Kim. So that's exciting.
And is the Kenneth Branagh thing happening? Do we know where that's at?
No, it's not. Sadly.
Okay.
Because of conflicts of schedule, which is. I'm gutted, but that kind of came out before anything had been set in stone, and then I had to have that awkward thing of like, no, actually, I'm waiting anymore.
Look, these are good problems to have.
Yes, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Good luck with series two. I almost said season two like an ugly American, like a disgusting heathen that I am.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
I'm sorry. Good luck with series two. I've seen the first two episodes. They're excellent.
Oh, thank you.
I can't wait to check out the rest. We know series three. I did it again, Jody.
Boo! Get off the stage.
What? Where did that come from?
Is that your actual voice? Is it Mean Girls?
What's that?
I think it's off Mean Girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just quoted Mean Girls right there.
Very clever. Have you seen the Mean Girls musical?
I haven't.
It's good. I've seen it. I recommend it.
I should check that out while I'm here.
Yeah, look to me for all your musical theater recommendations. good luck escaping the house at home. I'm happy if you're happy. I just want you to be happy. That's all I want.
Honestly,
you.
I am. Good. It's like the best place for me to be.
There you go.
And my mum is the most insane cock, so let's be honest, that's the main.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, basically, to be well fed.
Being fed well.
Yeah. It's good to get to know you today, Jody.
You too.
And I'll see you at the theater.
Yes.
See you at the theater.
See you in Mean Girls. See you in Mean Girls. Thank you.
We did it.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.